Proverbs chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Brother Joe Gans did a wonderful job Friday night in the youth rally. Spirit of God was just wonderful in the service. Hallelujah. Come close, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter number 19. Praise the Lord, you get to stand for the reading of the Word. Hallelujah. I doubt if anybody did that, Facebook Live. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. This is just an honor. That's what we're doing. We're honoring. Because I'm going to share more scriptures and more scriptures. I understand that. But just the initial honoring and the starting of the message. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Hallelujah. Praise our God. I want to read that one more time. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Father in heaven, we praise your wonderful name. And we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence, Lord, in this sanctuary tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, for your love towards us. Have your way, Lord. Just speak, Lord. Continue to speak, Lord. Fathoms from your word. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated again. Hallelujah. One commentary had this to say about this scripture. The subordination of all our plans to the wise counsel of God constitutes the only sure foundation for peace and tranquility of spirit. It is only when we make God's will our will that we can avoid perpetual disquietude and disappointment. There are many devices in a man's heart. In other words, this is a reference to that old sin nature. This is a reference to that problem man has with pride, and that problem that man has with trying to outthink God sometimes. I don't know if you've ever found yourself trying to outthink God. I found myself doing that in my younger years, trying to figure out what God's going to do next. You know, you're sitting in a church service and you're just trying to figure out, okay, God, what are you going to do next? Trying to outthink God, and instead of just whatever God's going to do next, I'll be with him. Hallelujah. I'm with you, Lord. I'm following you, God. I'm not trying to outrun you. I'm not trying to outthink you. But there's many devices in a man's heart. In other words, there's many persuasions. There's many philosophies out there. And there's definitely a multitude of error out in the world today, and even in Christianity today, a multitude of errors going on. But the bottom line, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that's going to stand. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of what I think about God's word. It's a matter of what does God's word say. And the only way I'm going to know what God's word does say is if the Spirit of God has access to my mind. If the Spirit of God has access to my heart. If the Spirit of God has control of this faculty, this facility. Woo, praise our God. What I want to preach on tonight is Holy Ghost infusion. Now, in Joel chapter number 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Now, we don't really have a problem about that. We don't really think anything about that. But you got to realize, when Joel prophesied that, there was only one man, one time a year, that got to go into the holy, holy place of God, where God's glory dwelt and God's glory came down. And there was only a few men that God poured his Spirit out upon. David was one of them. Then the prophets, you know, all the prophets, the Spirit of God would move upon them. Holy men of old, inspired by the Holy Ghost. So there was different ones. But God moved on the prophet Joel to write this down and share this with the children of Israel. There's coming a day when my Spirit is going to be poured out upon all people. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what it was like before you got saved in your life. I just know what it was like before I got saved, and I know how God began to move on me and deal with me to bring me to the place where I could encounter Him and meet Him for the first time in my life, even though I knew all about Him all my life. You see, a lot of people wonder, well, how in the world could you know about God all your life and not have met Him? That is the million-dollar question. But I was. Because it takes a spiritual encounter with God, and it takes a condition of the heart and of the mind. It takes a commitment of spirit, soul, and body to encounter Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not just one day you're going to wake up and you're going to encounter Jesus. No, no, no. You're going to have to make a move to encounter Him. And so here, this prophecy is, it's not, the Spirit of God is not just being poured out on the church. I'm going to try to enlighten you here just a little bit, maybe. I was lost. I had not met Jesus yet. And the Spirit of God began to move on me. I can remember standing in my pew during song service and the Spirit of God start revealing Himself to me. I can remember standing in one service and I had to look down to make sure my feet were still on the floor because my body felt like it was floating about 6 inches off the floor. And I'm looking around at everybody else thinking, do they think I'm crazy? I had no idea what was going on. Now catch this. We were looking for the church to visit it. We were on the wrong side of the town. We were fixing to go to the wrong kind of church. And we were highly emotional at the moment that we finally found the church. We were having great moments of different ones have called intense fellowship. And I was given the proverbial 101 reasons why we are not going in that church building late. But we went in anyway. And there was double doors. You went through the glass doors and then you stepped into the little foyer area that was about a 6x6 area. And you could hear exactly what's going on in there. There was a ladies' bathroom on the left and a men's bathroom on the right. And then there were swinging doors. I reached up and I grabbed the door and I pull it open so I can look in first. And if you will, the moment I pulled that door open, God met me. I had no doubt in my mind at all, lost, undone, not knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. But the minute I opened that door and we walked in, I knew God was in that place. His Spirit began to bear witness with my spirit that He was real. Woo, wow. You would have thought I'd run right down to the altar and got saved, but that's not how we do it. Oh, we have to try to rationalize it out. We got to figure it out. Now, you know, would that be the right thing to do? I mean, you know, you see, God began to move in my life, began to move on my life. And I can be in those worship services, and I could feel God, and I can know God was there. I wasn't even saved yet. See, He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, trying to draw them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But oh, hallelujah, when Jesus saved me, it was a whole different story. And so the reality, and I shared that to give us the understanding, now is the time. because we move on to Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter stood up and began to preach to that multitude as they came out of the upper room, out into the streets of the city. And there they began to preach. And Peter said and gave a confirmation, this is what God spoke in the book of Joel. It's happening right before your eyes. It's happening right before you. And the Spirit of God began to pour out upon that multitude. And guess what? 3,000 got saved. How'd they get saved? Because the Spirit of God was being poured out upon them. They weren't being baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. They were being drawn into the kingdom. Hallelujah. But right after that, you can rest assured they were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. All the New Testament was written with the thought and the understanding that the believer is filled with the Holy Ghost of God. That was not an option. Hallelujah. It was just the next step. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were filled with the Spirit of God. And you spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God began to give you that utterance. Hallelujah. And that was not uncommon. They knew that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was Christianity of that day and that hour. It was not an option to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It was just normal. All scripture is written like you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. But what happens when men that are not filled with the Holy Ghost come to scripture and try to interpret it? What happens? I don't know how many translations of the Bible we have now, but that's what happens. That's when carnal men try to understand God's word, because it was never intended to be understood by the carnal mind. And actually God's word says it cannot be. It is spiritually discerned. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it's the Spirit of God that reveals truth to humble, open hearts. Hallelujah. And so here tonight, I want to begin to bring not the initial infilling. I want to be talking about what happens after you've been initially filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to have Holy Ghost infusion going on in your life. Hallelujah. Now that word infuse, it means to put a quality or idea as if by pouring, to cause, to penetrate, to instill, to impart. It also means to fill, to inspire. And that filling is with some type of quality. Hallelujah. It means to steep or soak like tea leaves or roots or any type of tea. To steep or soak in a liquid so as to extract the flavor or other qualities. Wow. I mean, when I saw that, I thought, wow, that's exactly, and that's where this message was birthed. That's exactly what the Holy Ghost wants to do in our lives. He wants to put things there that were never there before. Woo, hallelujah. And everything that he's going to begin to bring, you can rest assured, it's quality. It's quality. Why? Because it is the things of the heavenly kingdom coming into my life. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And so we see Holy Ghost infusion is going to begin to bring a noticed change in the lives of believers. It will be visibly seen by all those that are around them. As Holy Ghost infusion begins to transpire, that's when that believer begins that process of sanctification, coming to the knowledge of righteousness and forsaking that way that is wrong. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost infusion is the Spirit of God moving and flowing in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls to bring about the change and the transformation of character, attitude, desire. I mean, it just begin. You begin to take up the qualities of Christ. Woo, hallelujah. Now, in Ephesians chapter number 5, I've used this portion of Scripture to kind of show what begins to transpire in the life of a believer. Once again, remember that these Scriptures are written to Holy Ghost-filled believers. They're not written to men and women who have not been filled with the Holy Ghost. They were written to men and women filled with the Spirit of God. The church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Wow.
Hallelujah. You can know what the will of the Lord is. Glory to the King. God's not going to leave us nor forsake us. And it was mentioned, I think, Friday night or maybe, I can't remember which service it was. But he doesn't save us and then just throw us out there in the world and say, all right, see what you can do. He begins to lead us. He begins to lead us and guide us. And he begins this Holy Ghost infusion into our lives. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see, be not unwise. Well, remember, watching is wise. Hallelujah. Be not unwise. What does that mean? That means it's possible for you to be unwise. It's possible for me to be unwise. So the only thing that's going to make us wise is understand the will of the Lord. And this is the glorious thing about Scripture. It begins to give us understanding. Hallelujah. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Hallelujah. In other words, he's talking about the fleshly life. He's talking about the fleshly desires. He's talking about the carnal mind. He's talking about putting the things of pleasure above the things of God. That's what he's talking about. Be not drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. There's that word filled. Hallelujah. Oh my, be filled with the Spirit. Being inspired by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, let the Spirit of God put some quality into your life. Put some wisdom into your life. Ooh, that's what he's there for. Ooh, hallelujah. I mean, have you ever read in the Scriptures where it says, grieve not the Spirit of God? Quench not the Spirit of God. Why? Because you're bringing detriment to your soul and you're bringing detriment to your life when you won't allow the life giver to lead your life. That means you're headed the wrong way. And God's not going to overpower your will. We talked about that this morning. He's given you and I freedom of choice, freedom of will. But the wisest thing we could ever do is put that freedom in the hands of Christ. And let Jesus Christ make our decisions for us. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I mean, this is just the reality of Holy Ghost infusion. And so we see now we're being filled with the Spirit. What's going to transpire when you're filled with the Spirit of God? And this Holy Ghost infusion is going on. There's going to be recognizable traits. There's going to be a testimony. Hallelujah. There's going to be a priority in the things of God. And there's going to be singleness of mind. Verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise our God. You see, that's that testimony. That's that priority of the things of God. Notice, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singleness of mind. I put that there. Why? This is what you do when the Holy Ghost has control of your life. You exempt the things from your mind that are going to pervert it. You exempt the things of this world that are going to cause you to think double-minded. See, singleness of mind is honor. Singleness of mind is Jesus Christ is everything to me. Singleness of mind is God's way, no other way even considered. Woo! And you see, that's what Holy Ghost infusion begins to bring into our lives, and that's what he begins, you know, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I love, and I just do this. I turn on Christian music. I've done it ever since I got saved. The only thing I've ever listened to since I've got saved by choice is Christian music, gospel music. I mean, at the age of 23, when I got saved, that was the first thing that changed in my life was the music I listened to. Why? Well, I didn't want to listen to beer-drinking music anymore. And that's what I listened to. I didn't want to listen to Your Cheating Heart anymore. I didn't want to listen to that one that was going carousing and broke somebody's heart anymore. I didn't want to listen to the garbage anymore. I wanted pure things in my mind. I wanted pure things in my heart. And that was some of the first things that began to transpire in this Holy Ghost infusion of my personal life. It was the psalms. It was the hymns. It was the spiritual songs. And making melody in the heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. It always amazed me how people changed what they were doing when you came around. Especially when I began to pastor. I just, you go up, knock on somebody's door, and they look out the window to see who it is. And it's the woo! And that honky-tonk music that was playing in the house gets turned off. They go around picking this up and picking it because you can hear it, Those doors aren't very thick, and you're just standing there going, yep, I know what they're doing. and you weren't critical about it. They just weren't there yet. How many times has pastor walked by while you're looking at your phone and you turn it down the opposite direction? I don't know why you're looking at your phone in church, because Facebook Live's for other folks, not you. You're here. I'm really thinking about instituting putting the phones in a box when you come in the door, because they are such a hindrance to some folks. Some folks, not a problem. My phone's back there on a stand. I couldn't look at it if I wanted to. I don't really want to. Why look at the phone when you can have God? Hallelujah. Why look at the phone when you can be looking at God full in the face? Why occupy your mind with something besides what God's doing in a church service? Yeah, I know I'm meddling. I'm not pointing fingers. Well, I was pointing fingers at all of you, but I'm not trying to pick anybody out. These are just things that happen, and these are things we got to realize. The Holy Ghost wants to take us to higher heights and deeper depths, but if we're more concerned about the beggarly elements of this world, we're never going to get into this infusion process. Because everything of the kingdom of God, He wants to give to you. Ask of me the kingdom. Will He deny you? Not at all. Everybody has just as much of God as they desire. And if you want more, there's more to be had. Hallelujah. And so we see there's a distinction when that Holy Ghost of God begins to rule our lives and infuse into our lives the quality and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Giving thanks. When there's a lack of honor, there's a lack of thanksgiving. People begin to just take God for granted. He's just going to be there when I pray. He's going to answer my prayer when I want something. You're missing out on Holy Ghost infusion. Oh, I thank God that He answers prayer. I thank God He hears us when we pray. But there is so much more to prayer than that. Hallelujah. How many's ever sung that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Oh, we've experienced that around here in these church services. Even Friday night, we were in here for 3 hours. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that was the best spent 3 hours we could ever spend on a Friday night. Hallelujah.
I wasn't worried about the time because I know how Pentecostal people were. If we would have got out of here at 8:30, you'd still been in that kitchen till 12:30. So why not just stay in here till 10:30 and just have 2 hours in the kitchen, 3 hours in here? Hallelujah. Praise our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, just the reality. Holy Ghost infusion, it's those things that you're hungry for. It's those things that you're desirous for. When the Spirit of God has control of the vessel just wants more and more and more of a holy God. Hallelujah. And it just begins to then unfurl and unfold in our lives. There'll be a testimony, a priority, a singleness of mind. There'll be a giving of thanks in all things. Wow. There's other portions of Scripture that tell us to do all things without murmuring and complaining. What is that's the opposite of thanksgiving. Did you know that? Giving thanks in all things. It didn't go your way. Well, thank God. I didn't mean it like that. But the reality, even if it doesn't, I'll word it like this. Even if it doesn't go your way, you give praise and you give glory to God. Hallelujah. That things are still going forward and things are still happening. Hallelujah. And God is still having his way. Hallelujah. Woo, praise our God. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks in all things. It brings submission, which goes along with honor. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What does that mean? Let me word it like this. I'm just quoting Scripture. I'm not giving you the text in the verse for it, but I am quoting Scripture. Esteeming others greater than yourself. That's the same as what it's saying here. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I can't get the attitude, I'm smarter than you are. Because if I do, I've just stepped into the realm of sin. Yeah. Sin sitting at the door, just waiting for me to pick it up. When I get an attitude, I'm smarter than you are. I know more about this than you do. See, that's a bad attitude. That's a bad attitude. Now, submitting. Whatever you know, I want to hear it. Whatever I know, I want to share it. So that we can all be edified, we can all grow, and we can all be wise. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Because wisdom is not based on intelligence. Wisdom is based on the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The wise man hearkens to the counsel of the Lord. Wise people doesn't mean they're the most intelligent people. And I'm not trying to belittle or offend anyone. But intelligence is not the factor. Surrender is. Surrender is. Honor is. Holy Ghost infusion is. Hallelujah. And so submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And all the men said, amen. Oh, but now let's read further. And all the ladies are going to say amen twice. Because this is the part most men forget. Because for the husband is the head of the wife. That means you've got more responsibility to be godly, Holy Ghost filled, walking in righteousness, and full of the love of Jesus Christ than your wife does. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is a greater admonition to the husband in this portion of Scripture than most husbands want to lay hold of. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, not according to your definition, but just like Jesus Christ is loving the church and gave himself for it. To be the leader of that home requires greater self-denial than wives submitting to the husbands. Takes greater effort on the role of the husband to be that spiritual leader of that house and not just the big boss. Oh, yeah, I get so sick of that a lot of times when men try to throw that around and browbeat their wives. Oh, that ain't it at all. No, 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 that shouldn't even be in their thought pattern. There should be a humility. There should be a love there. There should be an honor there. Hallelujah. To honor them just like Jesus honors his church, his bride. Look how much God has done for us. Look how much Christ has done for us as the church. How he pours his spirit out. How he quickens his word. How he loves us, builds us, shapes us, molds us. The mercy he has. The kindness he shows. The forgiveness he gives. Hallelujah. I mean, the husband is required far more of submission to God than the wife is. The wife is supposed to be in submission to the husband. The husband's supposed to be in 100% submission to Christ. Whoa. So don't ever tell your wife to be submissive unless you're for sure you're being submissive. Now, if you're complaining and griping and railing and verbally abusing your wife, you're not submitted to Christ Jesus. You're not in submission to your God. And you have no right to demand it from your wife. Hello. Hopefully somebody on Facebook heard that. I don't think we have that problem going on here in Calvary Lighthouse Church. Hallelujah. But it goes on in a lot of churches. Oh, shouldn't be. What's going on? No Holy Ghost infusion. See, this is the whole downfall of instantaneous sanctification and the second definite work of sanctification. There is no Holy Ghost infusion if you think you got it and you stop. Most folks I've ever encountered that believe that are the most ungodly people I've ever met in church. Because they've been sanctified. Really. You need to go for another dose. Because there's too much going on that ain't sanctified. Woo! Hello? No, no, no. It's Holy Ghost infusion, a continual process, a continual work. You're going to be worked on until you leave this world. Hallelujah. When we leave this world, then it's all going to be changed. There'll be no more carnal nature. There'll be no more sin nature. We're going to get a new body. Hallelujah. And we're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord, and we'll never have to deal with a carnal mind again. Woo. Hallelujah. I mean, that's enough to shout about, not having to deal with that old carnal mind again. Praise God. But now we got to deal with it. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need Holy Ghost infusion. That's why we need the Spirit of God continually rolling over our minds to keep them renewed. Thinking the way God would think. Thinking the way the Word depicts we should think. Hallelujah. You see, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. In other words, it's the husband's responsibility to make sure he's walking in the light of God's word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy Ghost infusion. Steeping, soaking up the qualities of God. At that altar of prayer and those presence of God, when the word comes forth, praise be to the Lord. Glory to the King. I know that's one thing that has been spoken about our preachers in this church by some outsiders that have watched Facebook. They said, you know, all your preachers preach the word. Preach truth. They preach good. Yes. Hallelujah. What else would it be? How else should it be? Because it's God's church, it's God's word, and we are in pursuit of being submitted to God. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. And so we see that it's going to bring a submissiveness. It's going to bring a teachability. It's going to bring humility. Holy Ghost infusion is going to bring humility because we are going to have the great reality of how great God is and how weak we are. We got to keep the reality is no matter how much we may do right, we still have a measure of wrong fighting us. And we are susceptible to do wrong at any moment or given time. may not be a great wrong, but it can still be wrong. And if we are sensitive to the little wrongs, you can rest assured we won't fall into great wrong. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I got raked over the coals this morning. Nothing great, nothing major, but just something that shouldn't be done, or actually should be done. Did you know that, you know, when you don't do something that you know is right to do, it's wrong? Sin of omission, that's correct. Hallelujah. It's not that you proverbially did any act that was wrong, it's just you didn't do an act that was right. Most Christians don't even think that way. Woo, help us, God. Holy Ghost infusion is what we're after. The Spirit of God pouring out upon us. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 7, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power and by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost," do you realize how emphasized that is in the book of Acts? Whole book of Acts is to help you and I understand Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy, filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. As I was doing my biblical studies the Berean College, and I did a course on the book of Acts, they said really the title of the book of Acts should have been "The Acts of the Apostles Wrought by the Holy Ghost." Because they didn't do any of this of themselves. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost was moving them, using them, and it wasn't their acts. It was the acts of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so if we're wanting to see that, we got to have Holy Ghost infusion. We've got to have the Spirit of God flowing, ruling, reigning, not just speaking in tongues. That's just the initial physical evidence. That's basically when the door finally gets open to the Spirit of God and he comes in. Now he's ready to work. Woo! Now he's ready to infuse. Now he's ready to bring about the things that I need in my life to produce and honor and glorify Jesus Christ. And so we find Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And guess what? Nobody was saved. Same Holy Ghost power. Same Holy Ghost being poured out upon all flesh. But nobody in that crowd that day got saved. I wanted you to think about that. Because we always quote, well, you know, if God's moving, then 3,000 to get saved. God was moving and nobody got saved. Why? Because they didn't want it. It's another story in the Bible where Jesus was in a house and the power of God was present to heal, and nobody was being healed except those that began to exercise faith. And they climbed up on the roof, tore the roof off, and lowered the man right down in front of Jesus, and he was healed. Woo! So just because the power of God is moving in the house doesn't mean you'll get a thing from God until you're ready to humble your heart and say yes. And when you do, you will be touched by the Holy God of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. So here we see the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost infusion. Amen. You know, definition number one, to put, as if by pouring, to cause to penetrate, to instill, impart, gave Peter boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ directly to the ones that crucified him. and actually told them, "You crucified the Lord." Wow. He wasn't scared a bit. Woo! What is that? Holy Ghost infusion. That's the Spirit of God dwelling there after that initial infilling. He's still there. He's still infusing. He's still working in Peter's life. Hallelujah. And he granted him boldness right in front of the men that could kill him too. And told them exactly, if you will, how the cow ate the cabbage. Woo! Hallelujah. Just that old country terminology. He just told them exactly what it was, who they were, and what they did, and it's time to repent. And they didn't. Not right then. Not right there. Hopefully they did later. Thank God for grace, because I didn't repent the first time God showed me my sin either. The old grace kept rolling, and the Spirit of God kept moving. Acts chapter 13, verse number 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Number two, definition of infused: to fill, to inspire, to fill with a quality. Now tell me, is joy a quality? Glory. Once again, you got to realize, this is the book of Acts. Paul and Barnabas went into this city, and there was miracles performed. And the Holy Ghost was being poured out upon all flesh. But they run them out of town. Does that mean they weren't in God's will? Does that mean they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost? Does that mean they weren't really serving God because the people rejected their message? Not at all. Not everybody's going to receive it. But you rest assured, every Holy Ghost-filled believer is going to give it, because it's Holy Ghost infusion. Hallelujah. And so that boldness that they had, it was still going on there. But once again, the people rejected it. They just shook the dust off their feet, moving on. Praise God, going forward. They don't want it. We'll find somebody that does. Hallelujah. And they went on down, and the disciples were filled with joy, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They found joy in the midst of their troubles. Now, they were just men like you and I, and you go into a campaign or a meeting and you don't get any results, tell me how you're going to feel. I mean, once again, every step I take is a step of faith, because I ain't seeing it. I ain't seeing multitudes yet. I'm seeing a great number and a great group. Hallelujah. But I know there's more people out there outside of the walls of this building that God's dealing with. I seen them pull up in a drive-up church service. Hallelujah. What is that? God's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. But they ain't, and some of them just ain't saying yes yet. But that doesn't mean God ain't moving. Hallelujah. And I know God's moving, because I could see it on their face. I could see them behind that windshield. I could see what God was doing. Hallelujah. As we would sing, as we would preach, and as the Spirit of God would come down in those vehicles. Glory. Hallelujah. And so joy. The Holy Ghost brought joy in the midst of disappointment. Whew. Hallelujah. You see, He comes. That Comforter comes. That Holy Ghost infusion. That faith in God. Not in results, but in God working. Praise our God. And so we see then, that Holy Ghost infusion can bring boldness, it brings submission, it brings teachableness, it brings single mind. Are you getting the picture here tonight? Am I portraying it to you enough to realize that the Holy Ghost is the most important part of the Christian life? The Spirit of God filling this vessel and then infusing that character and that nature of Jesus Christ into our lives and directing our lives. I'm going to close with this portion of Scripture and definition number three. To infuse means to steep or to soak in a liquid, rain on us, God. Rain on us with the Holy Ghost so as to extract the flavor or other qualities. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that is chapter 12's closing of letting us know that the gifts of the Holy Ghost are real and we need to be operating in them. But then he moved on and said, let me show you even a greater thing, a more excellent way. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I want to stop right there. He is not belittling tongues, and he is not preaching against tongues. He's preaching against those that speak in tongues, but they don't allow Holy Ghost infusion to go on in their lives. They don't allow the Holy Ghost to control their lives and bring forth that character and that nature and that disposition of Jesus Christ. And so then, because they do not allow the Holy Ghost infusion to happen, then they become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In other words, they become useless to the king. What you would probably label a hypocrite. I want to throw this in here. Do not ever judge the baptism in the Holy Ghost by some person's behavior. Because when you do, you are creating a barrier to God in your life. Because there ain't a one of us sitting in this place here tonight that's perfect. Don't even try to stand up and say you are, because you just showed you weren't. There ain't a one of us in here perfect. But that doesn't change the fact that God's Word says be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care how many hypocrites you see, God tells you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so if all you see is hypocrites that are claiming filled with the Holy Ghost, should not keep you from being filled with the Holy Ghost, because if you're that critical of that individual, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost so you can show them the right way to live. But it's so much easier to confess everybody else's sins than ours. Woo! That's not an excuse for me not to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's always going to be someone who does not go on into Holy Ghost infusion. There's a whole realm of charismatics out there that claim they speak in tongues and they ain't nowhere near Holy Ghost infusion. Does that mean the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not real? Not at all. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is real because God's Word said it's real. Hallelujah. My confidence is in God. My confidence is not in men. Because I've been filled with the Holy Ghost now for, 35 years. And I've made mistakes all along life's ways. It wasn't the Holy Ghost's fault. It was mine. It was me not listening to the Holy Ghost. It was me not following the Holy Ghost. It was me trying to figure it out myself. The Holy Ghost is never going to lead me wrong, but I can go wrong. I am still fallible because I still have this body of flesh. The Bible says we have this treasure in these earthen vessels. And you're still going to battle your carnal man. You're still going to battle a carnal mind. But what you want to do is allow the Spirit of God to continue the infusion process so that you can win the battle more often. Hallelujah. And be walking in the Spirit more than you're walking in the flesh. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. And so we see here then the tongues of men, charity. Oh, love. God is love. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. Whoa. I mean, we're talking about spiritual qualities here of gift of prophecy, understanding mysteries, having knowledge and having faith, but yet I'm missing something. the most important thing of Holy Ghost infusion. And have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit. All right, I want to stop right here, and I want us to understand you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and still not have charity. Because it is part of Holy Ghost infusion. It's not part of the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's part of Holy Ghost infusion. Following on to know the Lord. Following on to walk in the Spirit. Following on to live in the Spirit. Following on to deny the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Following on to, oh my, let that old body of sin be nailed to that cross and live in resurrection power. Hallelujah. You see, we're still freedom of choice, creatures of choice. Even after you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're still a free moral agent, and you still have to yield yourself to God and yield yourself to the Spirit of God and allow the Word of God to have the final say. You're still a free moral agent after you're filled with the Holy Ghost. After you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're still a free moral agent, and you have to start making right decisions as the Spirit of God leads. The advantage that you have is now that you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know the voice of God. You know the power of God, and you know how God will lead you and guide you, and it's up to you to be there and allow the Holy Ghost to begin to infuse into your life the character and nature of Jesus Christ. You see, it's always a choice to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, to receive that baptism in the Holy Ghost. It's a choice. Once again, the power of God can be moving all over you, but it's your choice to speak in tongues as He begins to lead. He's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you do anything. But as you begin to follow Him and listen to His leading, you will begin to worship. You will begin to praise. You will begin to pray. And as the Spirit of God comes stronger, as you remain yielded, you'll begin to speak in an unknown tongue. But that doesn't mean you're done. That means you have just started into a grand world of the spiritual kingdom of God that you so desperately needed to experience so you can move on, hallelujah, to Holy Ghost infusion in your life and bringing about that charity into your life, that character of Christ, that nature of Christ, hallelujah. So, all this said, you can get the baptism in the Holy Ghost and have had that experience, but doesn't mean you got charity going on. Charity is something you have to choose. Hallelujah. Charity is something you have to choose when the Spirit of God, when uncharitableness begins to rise up and uncharitable words begin to fly out of your mouth, it's up to you when the Spirit of God says, wait a minute, to stop. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because you know His voice then. You know His unction then. You know His presence then. And now you got to learn to start walking in that unction, walking in that presence, so that you won't fulfill the ways of the old man. Woo! It's a process, church. It's Holy Ghost infusion. Hallelujah. The more you pursue it, the quicker it will transpire. But the longer you delay it, the harder it will become. Holy Ghost infusion in our lives. He says, charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, you're not selfish. Is not puffed up. Don't get mad every time things don't go your way. Doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, honor. Always honoring. Esteeming others greater than yourself. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. See, there's the key. Charity. Getting full of the love of God, you won't desire evil. You won't even think about evil. You'll have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, hallelujah, coming over your mind and over your soul, you won't even want any part of evil when the love of God starts filling your soul. That Holy Ghost infusion, when you start, and here's the key, when you start spending time in the presence of your God. Woo! Ask yourself this question. Out of the 7-day week, how much time do you personally spend in the presence of God? If the only time you can think of is Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night, you're not very strong. And the enemy's going to take you out, no problem. Because you don't have Holy Ghost infusion going on. Because it takes a whole lot more time than that for Holy Ghost to begin to change your life. All these Sunday services are catalysts to help you promote the change in your life. But you got to keep it rolling when you cut up Monday morning. You got to keep it rolling when you get up Tuesday morning. You got to keep moving into the presence of God on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Oh, you'll find that as you learn to move into the presence of God, it won't take hours to get there. Sometimes it takes us hours to get there because we're so full of ourselves, we can't even sense the presence of God. But the more you get in the presence of God and the more you begin to allow the Holy Ghost full control in your life, the quicker you can move right into His presence and rejoice with Him and pray and enter into the throne room of God and know that you've been with God and it's encouraged your heart, it's renewed your mind, and this has got to happen in your life every day. And then we wonder why we're so easily persuaded to fear, doubt, and unbelief. It's because we won't go into the presence of a holy God to find the power, the faith, the infusion that we need. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity. If you get ecstatic when bad things happen to people, you've got a bad problem. You don't have the love of God in your heart. Sorry, I didn't say it. God's word did. But you rejoice in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Hallelujah. Endurance. That means how long you're going to stay with something. How long you're going to maintain something. How long you're going to put up with something. That word is used again, endure hardness as a good soldier. That means not everything's going to be easy. But the Holy Ghost can always bring joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to our God. You know, every situation always has two sides. You can rejoice, thank God, or you can allow bitterness, envy, hate take its place. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. I just refuse to act that way. It's not that I can't. Oh, I could. Woo! Glory. Flesh unleashed, you wouldn't like me. You would not like me at all. If flesh come unleashed on something you did to me, you wouldn't like me at all. Praise God, it's not going to come unleashed. It's on the cross. Woo! Hallelujah. It's on the cross. How do I know it's on the cross? Because I put it there. Woo, hallelujah. I put it there because I want Jesus Christ in here. Hallelujah. And that's just the reality of what we have to do in our lives. I reckon myself dead, the Apostle Paul said. I put him there. Hallelujah. I put the old man on that cross. I deny myself. I take up my cross. I follow Jesus. I'm saying all that in the sense that your name goes there too. Because that's the only way it's going to be done, is when you choose for it to be done. That's when it will be done. That's how it operates in Christianity. It's a voluntary submission of the will. No matter what it is, in every area of our lives, it has to become that voluntary submission of the will to God. There's no other way. There's no other way to have the victorious Christian life than Holy Ghost infusion. And Holy Ghost infusion is none other than voluntarily submitting my will to the will of God. As His word comes to me, I say yes. I say yes. Whatever you want done, that's what I want done. And many times I have to be like that one that came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "Do you believe I can do this?" And he said, "Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief." I said, "Lord, I want to, and I'm believing. But God, I'm going to need your grace. I'm going to need your help. I just need to be honest. If I'm weak, I'm weak. He'll help me in my time of weakness. But if I'm strong, I'm strong. That just means He's already helped me. He's already helped me. Because it's all about the Spirit of God revealing Jesus Christ and infusing Jesus Christ into our lives. Charity is not something you're born with. Charity is birthed in you when you're born again by the Spirit of God. But if you're not careful, you'll neglect it, and it won't be there. That's why you and I need the baptism in the Holy Ghost of God, so that Holy Ghost infusion can begin in our lives. Because it won't begin, not in its fullness. Once again, as I said, there were things when I got saved, I knew in my mind, my carnal lost mind, that they were wrong. And when I got saved, they were gone. I just quit doing them. But there was a whole multitude of other things that required Holy Ghost infusion. They required God's power and God's Spirit helping me to put that old man on that cross. It was test after test, fight after fight. The battle was on. Woo! That's why I like singing that old song, "I'm on the battlefield for the Lord," because it's real to me. I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. I'm fighting for my Savior. Hallelujah. I'm fighting for Holy Ghost infusion. I'm fighting for God's will to be done. Hallelujah. All the influence of this world is not to do God's will, but to do your own thing. Yeah. I got rights. Funny, I don't have any. Well, I've got rights as an American citizen as far as civil and government things are concerned. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, I have no rights. The only right I have is to become a son of God. Woo. Hallelujah. Because I take my rights and I put them right in His hand. And say, "Lord, your will be done. Whatever needs to be done in my life, then that's what needs to be done. I don't need to ask questions about it. I just need to do it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I know what I know, I need to go. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. It's just like that old saying of that one individual when he sat down to pray about giving his horse to them poor folks that had lost theirs. He just got right back up and said, "You know, sometimes prayer is just an excuse not to do what you already know you need to do. Let's go pray about it. Hopefully, maybe we can get out of it." Woo! Stand with me. Could I have a piano player tonight? Holy Ghost infusion. This is what the apostles believed. I believe that thoroughly. I've just read scripture to you here tonight. This is how the apostles lived. This is how the book of Acts was generated. It was the Holy Ghost working in the lives of those believers. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost bringing about that glorious transformation into the glorious kingdom of God. And that the will of the Father would be performed in the church. Hallelujah. I mean, that's when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That was a pattern of prayer to help his disciples realize it's not about what you want. It's about what God wants, to honor him. Hallowed be thy name, to honor God. And thus, I need his will being done here on earth, just like he would do it in heaven. That's our pattern of prayer. And so then we embrace that. And when we go to prayer, we begin to open up our hearts. And we say, "Lord, you know me. You know me better than I know myself. Show me what I need to grab a hold of from your word and put it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Put it in my heart that I can love my neighbor as myself. Put it in my heart that I can forgive as you have forgiven me. Put it in my heart, Lord, that I can esteem others greater than myself." See, not everybody has difficulties with that, but I'll be honest with you. I had difficulties with that. Great difficulties with that. But yet God kept working it in me to where now I realize that's the only way God can be glorified. Then that's what I must do. Woo. Glory. Holy Ghost infusion, God. Let it happen. Let it happen in me, Lord. Keep it up, God. Keep pouring out your Holy Ghost. My heart and my soul. Keep taking me, Lord God, to the deeper depths and those higher heights. Infusing Christ into me. Praise our God. Praise our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Let's come around these altars tonight, or let's find us a place to pray. And just begin to ask yourself this question. God, is your will being done in my life? Show me what I need to do to have Holy Ghost infusion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.